Good morning. Find your way in and find your seat, please. We're going to begin our worship services in here just a few moments. I'm glad you're able to come out and be with us. If you're online, we're equally grateful. If you're traveling or moving or visiting in our area and there's some way we can be of assistance to you, we'd like that opportunity to discuss that with you. If this is the first time that you have ever been in a worship service in the Church of Christ, you might think that there's some things missing. I assure you, they are not. I assure you, they are not missing. To prepare our minds to hear today's lesson, I thought we might consider John chapter 14, verses 1 through 6. John chapter 14, verses 1 through 6, and I'll be reading from the King James. Let not your heart be troubled. You believe in God, believe ye also in me. In my Father's house are many mansions. If it were not so, I would have told you. I go to prepare a place for you. And if I go and prepare a place for you, I will come again and receive you unto myself, that where I am, there ye may be also. And whither I go, you know, and the way you know. Thomas saith unto the Lord, we know not whither thou goest, and how can we know the way? Jesus said unto him, I am the way, the truth, and the life. No man cometh unto the Father but by me. Let's enter into worship. Thank you.
First song is Amazing Grace, and it's 129 if you're using a songbook.
Amen.
Next one's Precious Lord, Take My Hand. It's in the songbook, it's number 786.
When my baby brought here, precious Lord, hear me. When my life is all lost on, hear my cry, hear my call, hold my hand, lest I fall. Take my hand, precious Lord, lead me on. Precious Lord, take my hand, lead me on. Let me stand.
Gracious Heavenly Father, we're just so thankful that you have seen fit for us to be here today and glorify your name in every way possible. And we're just so thankful that you are our God and we hallow your name at this time. Heavenly Father, we're just so grateful for all the blessings you bestow on us here as a family, but individual, but definitely Central Church of Christ here in Johnson City. And we ask you for continued blessings, for continued growth, mainly in faith, but also in number. And we're just so grateful for all the ministries that we have here that help continue this mission. Heavenly Father, we pray for the leaders of all those ministries. We pray for their steadfastness, and we pray that our prayers are encouraging to them, and just help us to participate as much as possible to make their lives just a little bit easier. And we're just so thankful for all their efforts. We're thankful for our ministers here, our teachers, and all of their efforts that they put forth to teach us and to lead us in a direction. And we also want to offer a special prayer for Tim this morning. as he prepares to bring us the lesson today. Help us to listen with open ears and an open heart, and be willing and ready to take the message and apply it to our lives, but also carry it out to our communities. Heavenly Father, we're so thankful for Jesus being willing to be the sacrifice that allows us to talk to you right now. Heavenly Father, when we say, do, or think things that's not in accordance with your will, we ask you for forgiveness at this time, and help us to never take that sacrifice for granted. We're so grateful for the gift of the Holy Spirit, which you have allowed to come down here to lead us, to live in our hearts, to lead us and guide us every single day. And help us to nurture that relationship every single day by being in your word and having that constant communication with you. Heavenly Father, be with all those that have something on their minds this morning, whether it's spiritual things, physical things, mental things, or emotional things, whatever it is, bless them as only you can, and be with all those that are ministering to their needs. Heavenly Father, continue to be with our elders and our deacons as they lead us here. Bless them and help us to be an encouragement to them. And Heavenly Father, again, just be with us on through this service and on through future life. And we ask all this in Christ's name. Amen.
If you're using a songbook and would like to mark the song after the lesson, it'll be 924. 924, Just As I Am. And now we'll sing What a Friend We Have in Jesus. That's number 800 in the songbook. And if you like, let's stand for this song.
What a friend we have in Jesus.
This time, if you have children of the children's training class age, if you want to make your way out at this time. It will be a good time. If you're curious, just follow all the short people. Our scripture reading this morning comes from the book of Acts, chapter 17, verses 16 through 18. I'm reading from the English Standard Version. Acts chapter 17, verses 16 through 18. Now while Paul was waiting for them at Athens, his spirit was provoked within him as he saw that the city was full of idols. So he reasoned in the synagogue with the Jews and the devout persons and in the marketplace every day with those who happened to be there. Some of the Epicurean and Stoic philosophers also conversed with him. And some said, "What does this babbler wish to say?" Others said, "He seems to preach of foreign divinities," because he was preaching Jesus and the resurrection.
How blessed we are. We are blessed to be alive, blessed to live in this land of freedom and opportunities, blessed to have food to eat and shelter over our head and so many things. We could go on and on. But let's put first the blessing of being together with other Christians and being in the presence of God and Jesus Christ, our Savior. What a blessing that is, and we are so thankful for these opportunities. They strengthen us, they encourage us, and I hope today when you leave here, you'll say, it was good. It was really good to be together. So we're glad you're with us today, especially all of you who are visiting with us. We're very thankful that you've come this way, and would love for you to come back and join us anytime you can. If you live in the area, consider making this your church home. Let's talk about it. And if you're visiting from out of town, consider moving here. It's a good idea. So we'll just help you any way we can. We're glad you're with us. I need to mention a couple of people that are here today. One, the very first time, and I don't know if he's in the assembly or not, Benson Francis. Is Benson in here? Oh, right there. The proud, happy mother is Emily, and the really proud, happy grandma is Fat Patty, and we're just so happy that Benson, is this his first time with us? Okay, I thought it was. So welcome, Benson, and we're glad to see you. So glad. And then we have a couple here today that have not ever been here as a married couple, and that's Rudy and Michaela Rodriguez. And y'all want to stand for just a moment, let everybody see who you are. They just got married a couple of weeks ago, and now they're in the area. We're so happy you're here, and everybody make them feel just real welcome. We're just excited about you being among us. So. And anybody else want me to recognize them? And I'll do it. Mike McGee is here for the first time. Oh. Oh, that's right. You got married yesterday. How could I forget that? I am so sorry. You all stand too. I set a precedent. Hunter and Lydia Schmidt, congratulations. Best wishes. Hope it all goes great. And we're here to help you. We got all kinds of advice if you need advice. So. And all of you with us online, we're just so thankful you're with us online. Wish you could be here present with us, but I know for some of you that's not possible. But if it is ever possible, please come out and join us, and we're just glad to be together. Lord willing, and a lot of people are leaving this afternoon for High Rock Bible Camp. We had a good group that went up for Teen Week last week, and now we've got a group leaving today for Preteen Week, and some adults going as well. We're praying for you guys. We pray that it will go well, you'll be safe and healthy, and we know great benefits will come from it. Gonna pray especially for Tim Haywood. I think he's spending the second week up there, and how he does that, I don't know. But, and then this evening, Lord willing, we'll meet again at 6 o'clock. Have you ever had a doctor's office call and say you need to come in and see your doctor? And you know something is serious, and you make it a point to get in there. Well, I'm here to tell you, your cardiologist wants to see you this evening. We're going to be talking about hardened hearts. It's a very serious condition. And if you're thinking, well, there's no way I'm going to come out on Sunday night, you may already be affected. But this is a study that God has given us in His Word. I hope you'll come out and join us at 6 o'clock. And let's all remember, this is the Lord's Day. Let's do all that we can to draw closer to Him, and we know He will draw closer to us. Now let's get our Bibles out, get into the Word of God. We know there are so many good things that are there for us. Let's find out more of what God has given us. For the past year, Joyce and I have enjoyed watching seed pickers. We've been enjoying watching seed pickers. Now, you probably know what I'm talking about here, and it is the birds. We're talking about the birds. Our kids last year, for a combined Mother's Day and Father's Day present, got us a bird feeder that has a webcam on it. And so we can watch what the birds are doing. And this is a guest we had just yesterday, and we're entertained by that. All kinds of beautiful birds, some kind of drab, some of them kind of quirky in their mannerisms, but we enjoy that. We love that. Well, the reason I mention that is that today we're going to be talking about seed pickers. And yes, that is a biblical subject. In fact, what was read to us this morning from God's Word by Ken is the place that we're looking at it. You may remember there that the philosophers in Athens, Greece, heard Paul talking in the marketplace, and they said, "What is this babbler saying? What is this babbler talking about?" Interestingly, the word in the Greek is spermologo. It is a word that means seed picker. Seed picker. Now, you might say, well, that sounds like redneck. Well, that's not exactly the idea. It's not a compliment. It was a kind of a put down of Paul. But it's the idea that here's somebody that gets a little bit here, a little bit there. They think they know it all, although they don't really know much about anything. But they spout off as if they are some wise person. We would call that person a know-it-all. And so that's how they were looking at Paul, and they said, well, let's at least give him an ear. Let's listen to what he's got to say, and then we'll decide if we want to follow him or, you know, buy what he's selling. But that's the idea of seed picker. Well, as I thought about that, I thought, all of us are seed pickers. I'm not saying that as a put down, but aren't we the same about, you know, we gather information here, we gather information there, and how discriminating are we about the information that we gather and allow to become an idea that guides us in our lives? The Bible says a lot about this. That's the only time you got that word spermologo, but the Bible has a lot to say about being careful with the things that we allow to enter into our hearts. So let's get into that lesson and let's study about seed pickers, because we all are. Let's try to be the best we can be in doing that job. First of all, let's talk about important lessons about seeds. Important lessons about seeds. And to do that, we're going to go to Matthew 13 in just a few moments. But as you're turning there to Matthew 13, haven't we all had some experience with seeds? Maybe it was just when you were in kindergarten or first grade or second grade, and the teacher brought out these little Dixie cups, and they each had potting soil in them. And they would give you a bean seed, and they'd say, press that into the dirt, cover it up completely. Then they give you some water, and you pour it on it. And then let's watch. Let's watch over the next several days what happens. And it's amazing. Amazing that out of that dirt comes a stem with little leaflets on it, and it will continue to grow. And so we learned about seeds then. Jesus uses the same principle in Matthew 13. Let's go to verses 24 through 30. Matthew 13, verses 24 through 30. And this is what we often call the parable of the tares, T-A-R-E-S, or the parable of the weeds. And that's how we would understand it better. Matthew 13, beginning in verse 24. Jesus put another parable before them, saying, "The kingdom of heaven may be compared to a man who sowed good seed in his field, but while his men were sleeping, his enemy came. His enemy came and sowed weeds among the wheat and went away." Now, first of all, good seed has been sown. The man makes sure of that. He's hired men to go out and do the job for him. He makes sure they have the best seed possible. And so they do their job. But night comes, or at least a time when the workers are sleeping, and the enemy shows up and sows weeds. Now, there's been speculation on what kind of weeds that is, and we won't take time on that. It may be something that resembles wheat. It could be something like kudzu. Would you like somebody coming to your yard at night and sowing kudzu in your yard? Or dandelions. Somebody's already done that to most of our yards. But the idea is, no, I don't want that. But the enemy, somebody who is not your friend, has come and done that. All right, now let's go in verse 26. When the plants came up and bore grain, then the weeds appeared also. And the servants of the master of the house came and said to him, Master, did you not sow good seed in your field? How then does it have weeds? He said to them, An enemy has done this. This is a sharp master. An enemy has done this. So the servant said to him, do you want us to go and gather them? But he said, No, lest in gathering the weeds you root up the wheat along with them. Let both grow together until the harvest. And at harvest time I will tell the reapers, Gather the weeds first, bind them in bundles to be burned. To be burned, but gather the wheat into my barn. I've experienced this, and I know many of you have as well. In the years when I gardened, I would go out through there, and now and then there'd be a weed in my garden. Well, always there would be weeds in my garden. But sometimes you try pulling them up, and yet the roots of the weed that you're trying to pull up are bigger than you realize, and up comes the good plant as well. That's not a good thing. And in this case, the master said, Oh, let's just leave it alone. We'll be able to distinguish them when the time comes, and that's when the separation will be made. Now, that's not a hard parable to understand just on the face of it, is it? I mean, that's all pretty straightforward. We understand the concepts, even though we may not be gardening now. But what did Jesus mean by that? What was his point? Well, thankfully, he tells us. Let's go down now to verses 36 and following, and Jesus gives the explanation of the parable of the tares, beginning in verse 36. Then Jesus left the crowds and went into the house. And his disciples came to him saying, Explain to us the parable of the weeds of the field. He answered, The one who sows the good seed is the Son of Man. That would be Jesus himself. That's how he most often referred to himself. The field is the world, anywhere in the world. And the good seed is the sons of the kingdom. That's what sprouts up when the seed that Jesus sows is received. It's received in good soil. And that's another parable in this chapter. But then he goes on to say in that same verse, verse 38, the weeds are the sons of the evil one, and the enemy who sowed them is the devil. Now Jesus is explaining the story here. He's saying, I've given you this story. Here's what it really means. This is not a story now. This is reality. I sow my seed. Sons of the kingdom are those that receive my seed. But there's an enemy that comes in, the devil. And he sows his seeds, and the ones who receive his seeds are the sons of the evil one. That's what he calls them there, the sons of the evil one. The harvest is the close of the age, and the reapers are angels. Just as the weeds are gathered and burned with fire, so will it be at the close of the age. The Son of Man will send his angels, and they will gather out of his kingdom all causes of sin and all lawbreakers and throw them into the fiery furnace. In that place there will be weeping and gnashing of teeth. Then the righteous will shine like the sun in the kingdom of their Father. He who has ears, let him hear. Today, he who has ears, let him hear. Jesus is giving us a glimpse of the future. And we get to choose. We get to choose whether we are gathered and cast into the fiery furnace, we call it hell, or whether we are shining in the kingdom of the Lord in heaven. Now, I don't think anybody would hesitate. Which of those would you rather have for eternity? Well, of course, I want that good part. Then here's the thing. Which seed are we receiving? Which seed are we seeking? And even though we may say, well, I'm only seeking good seed, let's double check ourselves. In Luke chapter 8, verse 11, Jesus, in a parallel account, was interpreting the parable of the sower there, and he made a very important point to keep in mind. He said there in Luke chapter 8 and verse 11, the seed is the word of God. The seed is the word of God. And so right now what I'm doing is I am sowing seed as I talk. I'm trying to share with you the word of God. You are seed pickers right now. I hope all of you are saying, well, that's right. God said it. I want that. I'm going to take that into my life. But I wonder if there might be those that are like the hardened soil or the rocky soil in that parable of the sower or the stony ground, the weedy ground, and they're not really receiving it. But the point is, we are all seed pickers. We're talking about ideas. That's really the idea here that we're talking about. I found this on a website, Creators Video Lab. I don't know anything about the organization, but I like what they say about ideas. They say, ideas are not just fleeting thoughts. They are seeds of change. Ideas are seeds of change. On an individual level, ideas shape our identities, beliefs, and actions. Every decision we make, every path we choose, is influenced by our ideas. And you know, that's right. Why did you put on the clothes that you have on today? Well, you had an idea. This is what I want to put on. Why you put it on? I don't know. It was an idea you had. Or why did you even come here? You had the idea. I need to go out and gather with my brothers and sisters in Christ. All of what we do, all of what we are, is based on ideas. But where did those ideas come from? That's what we've got to always be asking. Is this from a good source? Or is this from a bad source? We've got to be more discriminating seed pickers, because these seeds, these ideas, shape our destiny. I think they're right in that. And that's what Jesus is saying in this parable. He's saying, be careful what seed you receive, because it will determine your destiny. Let's move on now and talk about learning to choose only good seed. Learning to choose only good seed. After all, let's remind ourselves, and let's go back to Matthew 13, but before we leave that passage, listen again to verses 40 through 42. This is Jesus talking. He's interpreting the parable. It's not a parable now. This is reality. He says, just as the weeds are gathered and burned with fire, so will it be at the close of the age. The Son of Man will send his angels, and they will gather out of his kingdom all causes of sin and all lawbreakers and throw them into the fiery furnace. In that place there will be weeping and gnashing of teeth. Now, that's awful. That's awful. Why does God want that? God doesn't want that. God only sows good seed. You remember Jesus said the enemy, the devil, is the one who's sowing the bad seed? And so that's the first thing we need to understand, is Satan's seed always leads to eternal ruin. Satan's seed always leads to eternal ruin. And that in itself ought to make us say, whoa, wait a minute. I need to be a lot more discriminating in the ideas I let into my head. Because if it's Satan's seed, this is where I'm going to end up. I don't want to be there. I want to be in that kingdom called heaven in eternity. Let's go to John chapter 8 now. Jesus is still talking in John chapter 8. Look at verse 44. And we've heard this passage a number of times. Let's think about it again with this idea of seeds and ideas and thoughts. John chapter 8 and verse 44. Jesus said, you are of your father the devil, and your will is to do your father's desires. Now, who is Jesus talking to there? And I bet a lot of us would say, well, he's probably talking to the Pharisees or the Sadducees or, you know, the Herodians or the Romans. If you go back to verse 31, he's talking to former disciples. Jesus is talking to former disciples. They had believed in him, John said, and now look at where they're at. Jesus said, you are of your father, the devil, and your will is to do your father's desires. How did that happen? They had been Jesus' followers. They believed in him, but now they're criticizing him. They've turned away from him. Well, let's read on in that verse. You are of your father, the devil, and your will is to do your father's desires. He was a murderer from the beginning and does not stand in truth because there's no truth in him. When he lies, he speaks out of his own character, for he is a liar and the father of lies. Satan's very good at what he does, and that is lying and deceiving. And even though you may say, well, that sounds really pretty good, check it out. Because if it's from Satan, if it's not from God, and we know what is from God, if it's from Satan, it is a lie. And the ultimate aim of Satan is to murder. So that's something we got to take into our hearts and understand. It goes all the way back to Genesis, Genesis chapter 3. You remember that? Genesis chapter 3, look at verses 4 and 5 with me there. God had put Adam and Eve in this beautiful place called Eden. It had everything they needed. It was an ideal existence. And yet God had said, there's this one tree. Everything you can have except this one tree. And if you eat of it, in the day you eat of it, you're gonna die. You're gonna surely die. And yet Eve and then Adam both ate of it. How did that happen? Genesis 3, verses 4 and 5. The serpent, who we learn later is Satan, the serpent said to the woman, you will not surely die. For God knows that when you eat of it, your eyes will be open and you will be like God, knowing good and evil. Do you hear the argument there he's making? God's holding you back. You could be so much better. But God's holding you back. Don't you know that when you eat of this, you're going to be like him? You're not going to die. You'll be like God. And they bought the lie. It hasn't stopped. 2 Corinthians chapter 11 and verse 3 tells us that. 2 Corinthians chapter 11 and verse 3, where Paul said, I'm afraid that as the serpent deceived Eve by his cunning, your thoughts, will be led astray from a sincere and pure devotion to Christ. It can happen today. And it does happen today. It can happen among us. And it could even happen in this assembly. Your thoughts could be led astray by Satan, and he knows how to do it. He's cunning. He's very clever. And his desire is to pull you away from the Lord. And so as I flit about from one feeder to another, as I go to one friend or to one internet site or to this TV channel or wherever it is that I go and I hear things and I'm collecting all the seed that I'm picking, do I ever stop to ask, is this right? Is this wholesome for me? Is this going to lead me down the wrong path? That's being a good seed picker. We can't avoid being seed pickers, but we can be the better seed pickers by insisting, I want what is right. And that's our next point. How do we protect ourselves against receiving bad seed? How do we protect ourselves? Romans chapter 8, this is a very important passage, Romans chapter 8 and verse 6, because it sums up very clearly, very concisely, what you need to know on this. Romans chapter 8 and verse 6, to set the mind on the flesh is death. To set the mind on the flesh is death, but to set the mind on the spirit is life and peace. How do you set your mind on something? Well, we sometimes do it without even realizing we're doing it. It just gets our attention. Something we're reading, something we're watching, people that we're around, we're just absorbed in what is being communicated. And yet, if it's of the world, if it's of the flesh, poisonous. it leads to death. But on the other hand, if it is something of the Spirit, the Holy Spirit, from God, through His Word, that's life and peace. So if I get in my mind right up front, I need to be in the Word. I need to know what this Bible tells me about life and peace. Now, if I don't have that determination, if I am not a dedicated student of the Word of God, where are your ideas going to come from? Where are they coming from if you're not in the Word? And I suspect I know the answer to that, and I bet you do as well. Also in Romans chapter 12 and verse 2, we talk about this a lot. This is a very pivotal passage, and I don't think we can overdo it. But he says again in Romans chapter 12, verse 2, do not be conformed to this world. That's what we've been talking about. Don't let the world feed you poisonous seed. Do not be conformed to this world, but be transformed. How's that going to happen? By the renewal of your mind. That's talking about educating it. How? By God's word. That's the implication there. Be transformed by the renewing of your mind, that by testing you may discern what is the will of God, what is good and acceptable and perfect. And that word discerning is what it's all about, what this lesson is all about. Can you tell the difference between good seed and bad seed? Can you tell the difference? If you're not in the Word of God, you can't. You're going to go by popular opinion or by whatever feels right, but you're not going to know what is good for you and what is poisonous for you. And that's what he says there. If you're transformed by the renewal of your mind, you'll be able to discern what is the good and acceptable and perfect will of God. And again, by implication, you'll know what isn't. It's all about using our minds, using our time and our energy to learn more from God's word. In Matthew 26, verse 41, here's another idea that is very fundamental. Jesus spoke this in the Garden of Gethsemane. Peter, James, and John had been nearby while Jesus prayed. He came back and said, what are you doing? You're sleeping. And he said this in Matthew 26, verse 41, watch and pray that you may not enter into temptation. The spirit indeed is willing, but the flesh is weak. And that's still good advice for us. Watch and pray. Watch means I'm aware that this world is not good for me in the sense of fleshly ideas and sinful ideas. I'm aware of that, and I've got to be on guard. And instead of dozing through life, I'm paying attention. And I'm careful about what I let my eyes see and my ears hear and where my feet take me. I mean, that child's song is still valid. Be careful, little eyes, what you see. Be careful, little ears, what you hear. That's still very good advice for all of us. And that's what Jesus is saying. Watch and pray, because you say, I want to do this, but your flesh is weak. You need God more than you realize. I need God more than I realize. Watch and pray. We are who we are today because of ideas that we've received from many different people, many different sources. Is that the way it should be? Some of us say, well, I'm working on it. All of us can say, I've got a ways to go here. But some of us may say, well, I'm not what I want to be. Is it because of those ideas that I've allowed to come into my heart and shape me? You remember in the parable of the tares, Jesus said the sowing of bad seed came when the workers were asleep. I don't think that necessarily means, you know, while we're sleeping, Satan gets into our heads. That's not the idea. But if we're not watching and praying, if we're just kind of floating along through life, that's when he sows his bad seed. That's when he does his best work. Ephesians chapter 2, verses 1 and 2. Let's look at that before we finish. Ephesians 2, verses 1 and 2. You were dead in the trespasses and sins in which you once walked, following the course of this world, following the prince of the power of the air, the spirit that is now at work in the sons of disobedience. That phrase caught my attention several months ago, the sons of disobedience. I don't want to be a son of disobedience. I want to be a son of God. How do I become a son of disobedience? Following the prince of the power of the air. That's what he says. That's how we become that. We allow him to sow his seed into our hearts, and over time, we don't care anymore about God's will. We don't care about what we know is right. I'm going to do what I feel like doing. Put yourself in that category, son of disobedience. The good news is there's a lot of good seed to go around, and Christ wants every one of us to make it to heaven. He does. He wants everyone in this building at this moment, and all of you watching online, and all who will watch it later. He wants all of us to be in heaven. Then you need to receive the seed the Lord has planted. On the day of Pentecost, Peter said, "You believe, you've asked, what should we do? Now repent and be baptized, every one of you, in the name of Jesus Christ for the forgiveness of your sins, and you'll receive the gift of the Holy Spirit," Acts 2:38. That still applies. And today, if you've not been baptized into Christ, if you've not confessed your faith in him, that's what we urge you to do without hesitation. And then we be faithful all the rest of our lives, and we seek out good seed. We're aware there's poisonous seed out there. I want what is good for me. And if along the way you've received poisonous seed and you know you have sinned, as a child of God, you need to come home and say, "I am so sorry, Father. I repent of my sins. I pray for forgiveness," and we'll pray with you and help any way we can. If we can help you, please come as we stand together and sing.
Just as
oh,
seated, please. Our next song is The Old Rugged Cross. That's number 313 in the songbook. On a
hill,
want to reiterate what Tim started. We are blessed. We are blessed to have God love us so much that he gave his son. And he gave his son as a gift. And in Romans 6:23, it says, "For the wages of sin is death, but a free gift of God is eternal life through Jesus Christ." The gift is a seal of God's promise, a promise of Christ that those who come to him in repentance and faith have forgiveness. And he seals this and what he's done in our minds and our hearts through the Lord's Supper. And the bread and the wine is a remembrance of him. In 1 Corinthians 11:23 and through 26, it says, "For I have received the Lord, that which also delivered unto you, that the Lord Jesus, the same night in which he was betrayed, took the bread. And when he gave thanks, he broke it and said, 'Take, eat, this is my body, in which is broken to you, do this in remembrance of me.' After the same manner, he also took the cup when he had supped, saying, 'This cup is the New Testament of my blood. And this do as oft as you drink in remembrance of me. For as often as you eat and drink of this cup, you claim the Lord till he comes again.'" This bread is Christ. He lived a perfect life. He never sinned, but yet he obeyed. He obeyed God. He did his Father's will. The wine represents his blood, which was poured out. And the new covenant was issued. And while the body was broken, it was the Lord's obedience. The wine speaks of his sacrifice. And having no sin, he chose to bear ours and become that sacrifice. And we do this in remembrance. So as we participate the Lord's Supper, we proclaim Christ's death. And we reclaim it until he comes again. Bow with me. Dear Heavenly Father, your Son lived a perfect life. He came to this earth, and he came to this earth to live as a man. His body hung upon the cross. He hung on the cross for us, and he did this in obedience to your will. Help us never forget this. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Bow again. Dear Heavenly Father, being able to send your Son to hang upon the cross, his blood was shed. The new covenant was given to us that we may have eternal life through Christ, through this blood. Help us to remember your will be done in all things. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. We are truly blessed. We are truly blessed as a country and the place we live and the material things that we have. Being able to give back to God what is already His is a blessing. Let's bow our heads. We come again knowing that the perfect gift was given by you. And as we think about and act upon giving back to you, help us to do so in a manner that's pleasing with you, with open hearts. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.
Let's pray again. Father and our God, as we come before you just now, truly it's been good to be in your house today. We're thankful, dear God, for the lessons that have been brought today. We pray, dear God, that good seed would fall on good and honest hearts, that your will would be realized in every individual here and in every family and in this congregation. We pray, dear God, for those that are suffering now. We have several on our prayer list. We have several that have been listed that have asked for prayers. And we are equally thankful, dear God, for the prayers that have been answered as some have returned and are returning to their much desired health. Pray your blessings upon the ministries here. Pray, dear God, for a watchful eye of safety and also for productivity this next week at High Rock Bible Camp. These prayers, dear God, we offer in Christ's name. Amen. Dear Central Church, John and I want to thank everyone for all the prayers that have went up on my behalf and for the prayers for John also. Thanks for the calls, the cards, the wonderful meals, the visits. Everyone has been so wonderful to us. And for the gifts, we are so blessed. God bless you all in family Christian love, John and Carlene. The snack for VBS on the evening of Sunday, June the 22nd is cookies. Please plan on baking or bringing cookies by that Sunday morning. There will be a brief meeting for all VBS helpers following the AM worship service downstairs on Sunday, June the 15th. We will go over scheduling, specifics, and costume fitting. The Dorcas group is meeting at different times to make sure that the VBS needs are fulfilled. The next cycle of the visitation program will meet after Sunday morning worship on June the 15th. Come through the line, pick up a visitation assignment of your choice and a snack. If you have time, feel free to fellowship. Or if you're in a rush, feel free to grab your assignment and go. The July cycle will be more of a potluck style, so be on the lookout for your sign-up sheet. The Dorcas group meeting, originally scheduled for June 11th, has been changed to June the 16th and June 18th from 1 to 3. The group will be working on vacation Bible school needs. You do not need to know how to sew. That's good to help out. Speak with George Ann Green if you have questions. Digging Deep tomorrow, 6 p.m., June the 9th, retired men's breakfast, Tuesday morning, 9 o'clock. Central Redbirds, Tuesday, June the 10th, at Amigos on People Street. That will begin at 11 o'clock. 55 Plus Group will meet downstairs on Monday, June the 16th at 6 p.m. Special entertainment for the evening will be provided by DB and Sandra. Please sign these lists that are all available on the announcement board. Riley, 6-year-old granddaughter of Teresa and Donnie, returned home Saturday evening after undergoing emergency appendicitis surgery. Thanks have been sent to the congregation for your prayers. Sandra, Angie's mother, is scheduled to undergo surgery tomorrow at Johnson City Medical Center to address problems with her pacemaker. And Jim, a member of the Bible study group at Hunter's Lake, has undergone two surgeries in recent days, and Lyndon Dennis has asked that we remember him in our prayers. Please refer to the Daily Focus on a daily basis to be updated on the needs and prayers of the congregation. Marshall.
Hi, I'm Marshall Danby. Huston Heatherly and I are deacons for the Prison Ministry Outreach. This morning when you came in, I hope you got one of these bulletins, because in it, on the inside, is an overview of the prison fund this month, June. It states a lot of information on there about it, why it's being done, and what we expect to accomplish from it. I just want to share with you a few very brief comments. The elders saw fit to have a prison fund, and they initiated it in June of last year with $10,000 as seed money. Today, the fund stands at $20,782. So we certainly thank everyone for their contributions. Now, the contributions is basically, June is Prison Fund Support Month. You could make a check out to Central Church of Christ, and in the memo, Prison Fund. Or you could use cash, put it in an envelope, your name on it if you want to know who you are, and just put Prison Fund. And something I found out just a few days ago, you can now make contributions to the Prison Fund through online giving, but only for the month of June. So I hope you'll give some serious thought to this. The goal is to build it to where it'll be self-funding one day, and also help us for any emergency needs. This morning, a few folks went over to Unicoi County Jail for worship services. This afternoon, some ladies will be going over to Washington County for worship services. Three men are on their way, maybe getting pretty close to the prison for worship services and communion. It's very active. Now, I'd like to ask all of the, if you've been a volunteer in prison ministry, the jails, the prisons, or the DRC, would you please stand? Come on, get up, I know who you are. That's looking pretty good. If you've got any questions, you don't have to just seek out Huston or me. These are people that have been doing it, and they can share with you the benefits and just how it can help not only the inmate, but the volunteer, Central, and our community. We are dismissed.